Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we're going to have mainly sunny conditions, a few clouds here and there. High around 74 degrees. Kenosha right now is at 56. It's a little cool out there this morning at this hour. In Burlington, it is 57. Milwaukee, 62 and 57 degrees in Racine. Fire crews from Racine called out to the 1600 block of Villa Street just after midnight this morning. A fire reported in a bedroom on the second floor of that residence. About $25,000 estimated damage is what resulted, the occupant saying that the bedroom was on fire. Fire contained to that second floor room. Apparently a candle got knocked over, which ignited some bedding. The two occupants of that home in the upper level are going to be staying with family members while the owner of the home makes needed repairs. Nobody got hurt. 6 of 8 announced candidates for Racine mayor filing the necessary nominating paperwork with the city clerk's office by the 5 p.m. deadline Tuesday, making the list in the order they appear. Wally Rendon, Sandy Widener, Melvin Hargrove, Corey Mason, Austin Rodriguez, and Fabian Maldonado. Justin Wheeler never filed a campaign registration statement or official declaration of candidacy and no nominating papers. Lee McGlorin offered no nominating paperwork to go with a previous declaration of candidacy. Both Hargrove and Rodriguez still have to file statements of economic interest by the close of business Friday. The primary election will be September the 19th, the general election October 17th. The winner to replace interim Mayor Dennis Weiser, who was council-approved to take over when John Dickert resigned to lead the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. Last night, the Racine County Board approved the new chief legal counsel with the appointment of Michael Lansdorf to succeed the now-retired John Lehman as corporation counsel. Lansdorf, who's been an assistant lawyer in the office for about 4.5 years, recommended for appointment by county executive Jonathan Delagrave.
The last few years, you've all seen Michael in action. You've seen his temperament. He works well not only with the executive branch and the legislative branch, stays true to the facts, and always has the best interests of the county at hand.
Lansdorf said he's humbled and grateful. He's a UW Law School graduate. His Bachelor of Arts degree in Political Science from DePaul includes a minor in professional writing. Prior to joining Racine County, he was an assistant attorney general in both Illinois and Washington, D.C. UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford says she is disappointed that the Great Lakes Valley Conference has sanctioned the school for what the NCAA determined were just secondary violations. Those violations involving administrative errors in the areas of amateur and academic certifications and seasons of competition. The Great Lakes Valley Conference banning all Parkside teams from all postseason conference and NCAA tournament competitions for the current academic year. In a statement, Dr. Ford says she is perplexed that the conference chose to ban teams from NCAA competition when the NCAA determined that the issues were isolated or limited in nature, noting that none of the university's student-athletes did anything wrong. The investigation began in February, Parkside self-reporting a potentially ineligible athlete, prompting the investigation. The conference issued the sanctions in May. Parkside appealed, but the conference upheld the sanctions. High school girls lacrosse to be offered at Kenosha Unified High Schools based on action taken at last night's school board meeting. At the same recommendation, district administration said no to a boys lacrosse program or boys and girls cross country at the middle school level. Brian Mogensen, the district's coordinator of athletics, said that middle school cross country would cost more than $33,000 a year, which is something the district's athletics budget cannot absorb.
Also, the Southeastern Conference has raised the officials' game fee, which has had an impact of a bit over $12,000 on the athletics budget as well. This increase, along with the addition of the girls' high school sport potentially, would not be able to be absorbed by the athletics budget as it currently stands.
Board member Dan Waite said, based on the response to a questionnaire, there isn't enough support for cross country yet. Adding girls' lacrosse would settle a complaint filed against the district by the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights back in 2012 that girls were not being given the same opportunities to compete in sports as boys. The co-op team will include girls from all over the district. High schools. The board approved the sports recommendations on a 6-1 vote. Rebecca Stevens against. She said the board rejected her call for an ad hoc committee to study middle school cross country. And you've already heard about the plans to build an aquatic center at Racine's Pritchard Park on the city's west side, thanks to that $6.5 million donation from the S.E. Johnson Company. The rest of park space is something that Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave wants to focus on with his next listening session from 4 to 6 this afternoon. It's scheduled at the Wazorik Pavilion next to 21st Street on the north side. In a news release, Delagrave indicating he is hoping for a community discussion about plans for the park. Members of the Aquatic Park Design Team, the YMCA, which will run the facility, and other members of the executive staff and county officials to join Delagrave at that listening session. That and any other issue related to Racine County can be brought up. The listening session again from 4 to 6 p.m. today at the Pritchard Park Pavilion. Legislature's Joint Finance Committee did come to Sturtevant yesterday to hear testimony on that proposed $3 billion Foxconn incentive package. Secretary of Administration Scott Neitzel saying that studies have shown the Foxconn development in the southeast area would have a ripple effect all across the state.
Beyond the investment by Foxconn, a study by Ernst & Young shows even greater impacts. 10,000 construction jobs created over the next 4 years, with an additional 6,000 indirect jobs related to construction. 22,000 indirect and induced jobs throughout the state. $1.4 billion in purchases by Foxconn annually from Wisconsin suppliers.
Alfonso Gardner of Mount Pleasant saying minorities and women are taxpayers too. He urged lawmakers to add language to the bill that would promote their hiring. The hearing ended after about 5.5 hours of testimony. The Assembly already passing the Foxconn bill. A Senate vote has not yet been scheduled. The Racine Common Council's Executive Committee had a closed-door session last night at City Hall with the city attorney on what the agenda suggested was information that was made public by certain officials that was considered privileged and confidential based on an ordinance. The agenda language listing whether the committee ought to request written advice on what to do from the Board of Ethics. No details available. Kenosha's Airport Commission meeting this afternoon. The agenda includes what's listed as how area development may impact Kenosha Regional Airport. Coming up at 6:30 tonight in the main meeting room of the Mount Pleasant Village Hall, the Zoning Board of Appeals to consider the variance petition regarding Ron Primuth and a previous order to close his long-running custom cabinet business on Giddings Road. A 1992 zoning board decision was to close the business by 2005. A village resident filed a complaint citing that ruling, but Primuth's lawyer saying he was operating before zoning ordinance adoption, so his client is a legal non-conforming use. Racine's Public Safety and Licensing Committee recommends denial of a Class B liquor license to Tamara Young for what she had proposed to be a sports bar and lounge at 509 6th Street, the reasons including lack of experience and past personal legal issues. Young back on a previous deferral with more details about the business that she wants to open up, already having a job as a nurse, but with no experience in the bar business and a couple of run-ins with the law.
I was on a waiting list for a liquor license, and I had a larger location. I was going to have a bar and a lounge with a sports bar, so that's why the name is like Plush Sports Bar and Lounge. I just switched the locations because the space was bigger.
City Clerk Janice Johnson-Martin pointing out that Young's application was for a Class B license that someone else had surrendered.
She was on a waiting list. Someone came in and did a conditional surrender license for her to get the license. If you deny the license, it goes back to the person that did the conditional surrender. There is no Class B available for the next person on the list. They did a conditional surrender. If she withdraws before it goes to Common Council on September 5th, then she can come back and apply at any time.
The committee's vote 4-1 to deny the license, Alderman Rady Hahn, the Lotus Center. So between now and the September 5th council meeting, Young has to decide whether to withdraw the application and try again later with the same issues or plead her case during public comments to council, and if rejected, she'd have to wait 11 months for another chance. A Racine couple accused of mistreating animals enters into plea agreements with the DA's office and is sentenced. 34-year-old Heather Jensen, 64-year-old Terry Bogart, originally accused on 26 misdemeanor counts of mistreating animals. Nearly two dozen dogs removed from their home on Harmony Drive in September of last year. Court documents had Jensen belonging to a dog rescue organization called Lucky Mutts. The animals kept in small cages did not have proper water or conditions inside the home deemed unsanitary. In court, Jensen and Bogart each pleading no contest to three animal mistreatment ordinance violations. Circuit Court Judge Timothy Boyle ordering both to pay fines and court costs. and a teenager hit by a train near Trevor early yesterday morning that we told you about, now identified as 18-year-old Adam Sanchez of Twin Lakes. Sheriff's Department said Sanchez and four other teens were shooting video on their cell phones of a moving train. Sanchez, on the tracks at the time, failed to get off in time and he was hit. He was airlifted to Frederick Hospital in Flight for Life. He remains in critical condition. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.